Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you in the Extra Hour is VFN Radio's producer, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining us this morning as we're getting over the first hour as the hemisphere of our mind parted.
The Shekinah glory.
It was awesome. It was really good work.
Very good.
Really good work. John Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
Also, Chris.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. We are here to encourage you. I want to give a shout out to our new listeners, ones that are joining us in the virtual stadium. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Michael and Malia and Christia. Good morning, Curtis. Give a shout out this morning to Peter. I got a chance to show Jared your shirt, man. He loved it. He said, this is great. Good morning, Nikki. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this Extra Hour to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And Pat.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good morning.
The VFN Radio crew. Here we are now in the Extra Hour, and so many things are taking place. We have some live news we want to talk about, and kind of, you know, what is God's perspective of what's going on? Because, you know, as controlled as things are, you know, do things really just happen?
Right.
Do they really, are people using people's stresses to be able, or using the moment, or not wasting a disaster? Because right now in Pittsburgh, right?
That's right. Breaking news right now on VFN Radio. Apparently there is a SWAT team that's up on the 17th floor, I believe. There's a hostage taken,
This is like an armed man, you know, took a hostage into an upper floor of a downtown building today, you know, forcing police to evacuate this particular high rise. You know, Police Chief Nate Harper, I think, and he's like barricaded himself in there with a hostage.
I believe so. Everyone's running out. This is just breaking news. It's just happening as you know, we're going on live right now. But there's people swarming around down below the building. But what happened was some lady came in running into their office and said, "Listen, we're being robbed. There's a hostage. Call 911." And before you know it, the police are arriving. So we don't know. All they're saying is that the gentleman was an ex-military, but that's all they're saying about you know, the guy.
I mean, you see literally they're pouring out of that building, and watching, you can see this. I'm just remembering it's available on the torch, but you can see where the people are just pouring out of that real high rise. It's a very tall building.
Huge.
Wow, it reminds me of you know, what took place when the 9/11, when they're running out of the Pentagon, and they're running out of the White House, and they're running out of the Twin Towers. And this is definitely a time we need to pray for the people that are in there and pray for these hostage situations, you know, that's going on. And understand, you know, our government, our attorney general, the head law enforcement officer of America, you know, has a report was just issued that he was part of giving the drug cartel, the Mexican drug cartel, guns, American guns, so they could come over and use them in America to create a mindset that guns were bad, so that they can create a desire for people to begin to put, you know, limit our Second Amendment rights.
Right.
And they just gave a report that that's what's going on. Well, at the same time, right after that, when the situation happened in Aurora, Colorado, where this horrific situation with this movie at midnight, and this guy goes in there and begins to shoot people in that theater, you know, which we have people up there that's around, you know, up there, that then the government issues a video out in Houston, how to survive an armed shooter. I mean, you can see this on the VFN Torch. They're creating fear. Listen, the worst thing, this is how this thing works, and we'll talk more about this probably next week. The goal of big government, those that think government's the answer, which ultimately, by the way, it's not a war with people, it's a war against God. They're wanting to say, listen, we want to be your God. It just boils down to that. And that, but yet the church can do the things that we're trying to turn into government. We can open hospitals, you know, we can feed the poor, but we have to do that. We're not doing that, but it's another thing, you know, we don't talk about that. But they create a disturbance, and they're the ones that create it. Well, Eric Holder, the attorney general, he's been doing it. You can watch, you can go to the Second Amendment. We're talking about today's celebration of the signing of the Constitution. You can go to On the VFN Torch and look up the Second Amendment where we're talking about it. You'll see a video of Eric Holder saying, listen, this is how you do it. You can't just change people the way they think just by doing one spot on a Monday or something. Every single day you have to brainwash them. But if you tell them long enough that he's talking about guns, that guns are bad, then eventually they'll buy into it. Well, Harry is doing what he believes. And this is what he believes. You know, you can say what you want to, and it's good that he's making known what he believes. I mean, it's good. I mean, he thinks that you got to get – and the truth is, if the church will wake up and begin to tell people what God says, they'll begin to believe God. But the church is silent in these issues while his values are coming out. And so here he is giving he created a storm, and one of our law enforcement officers was killed by those guns. You know, that Eric Holder, you know, created with that, you know, that with.
Right.
And now, I mean, right after the shooting in a war, they put a film out what it's like to go into a building and what you have to do, hide under your desk, and they tell you three things to do. And it's like, you're creating fear. Remember, fear is the devil's fate to bring to pass his will.
Right. Terrorizing.
Terrorize. It's exactly what it is. It's terror. You know, terrorizing. And God's people are people of faith. They feared not. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they feared not their life unto death. So we're not running around going, how can I live? How can I live? We're going around, how can I live for God? And I'm willing to die for myself, whatever, die to myself. And it's not, we're not trying, because we're not meant, this is not our reward. Our reward is after this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, but if you get enough people fearful, then all of a sudden people just start panicking. Isn't it interesting? Exactly what they projected after Aurora with their film. The government, this is Homeland Security, produced this video, and you can see it on the VFN Torch. You know, what do you do when a gunman comes into your office, and how do you hide? You do three things, you know. And this guy comes in with a shotgun in the video that Homeland Security is doing this and begins to shoot people. And I mean, this is creating, you know, because you have to get people to buy into it, because God's given you the authority. And he's given you a measure of faith, and you can use that for whatever you want to use it for. And God wants to use it to believe that he can do it instead of man. And if you start buying into this fear thing, you'll surrender. Next thing you know, you'll be letting people pat you down before you get on the airplane, and they'll x-ray your bones and your body parts to see if you got a gun on you. Next thing you know, you'll be giving up your rights to be able to walk down the streets of New York, because they'll be x-raying you with camera equipment to see what you're carrying. They can see everything but clothes they see when you're walking down the street. Or you can see the situation that's happening right now. You know, I have no proof, but I do know this. You know, the church has got to quit apologizing for what God has given in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and words of prophecy, because we know things by faith. God begins to share things with us. And this is all a second heaven strategy, whether people know it or not.
That's right.
Where people know it or not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Satan's got a plan going on, and he's got people held captive to do his will. But we are the church. We're believers, and we can stand up and face that and just say, you know, we're not going to have fear. This is just a horrific thing happened in this situation, but don't be fearful. You know, don't be fearful. Just be willing to sit down at your desk, you know, and do your work, and never don't sit around with a parachute, you know, under your desk, or, you know, or a freeze-dried chili. You know, because and it's like, come on, you know, just let's
listen to be absent in this body and be present with the Lord is great gain. You know what I'm saying? Once you don't fear death anymore, what we need to do is fear God. You know what I'm saying? We fear God, not fear man or anything else. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And your confidence as a believer is going to draw other people to God in the midst when they're flaking out and just, you know, being hit with this fear. The fact that you can remain calm in the midst of something that could potentially be going down is going to cause them to find out, what God do you serve? Why are you so strong in a time like this?
And right now, you know, that what's happening in the world, Satan's trying to stir up fear across the globe, because the majority of the population of the world gets fearful, the answer is going to be one world government. It's going to be, we can resolve this thing. We can rise up. We can take care of this. And people go, oh, thank you. We were so concerned about those terrorists. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like, it's just a small percentage of the people that a lot of times they're paying to go out and do that to get their agenda. There's, you know.
Well, think about the rights that people give up all the time based off of fear. It's like, how many rights are you going to be willing to give up every time something happens? All it needs, you know, more terror to occur is going to want you to give up more of your fear and all these laws. It's like, wait a minute. At a certain point, we just got to be able to trust God.
And the rights that's being given up when people talk about rights, we're talking about the United States Constitution. I mean, the First Amendment to the Constitution says very specifically that Congress, which is the body of the three legs of government, you know, you have the judiciary branch, you have the legislature branch, and you have the executive branch. The president, and his president is the executive branch, and he has a cabinet of people that he chooses to help him fulfill that. Mm-hmm. The judiciary branch are Supreme Court justices that are there that you see all the time, the Supreme Court, but the legislature branch is Congress. Those are the ones that make the laws. Now, the executive branch is not supposed to make no laws, but you know, it's being violated quite, they're making rules now. And, mm-hmm.
Executive orders,
but that's a violation of the balance of government and balance of powers. Although it can be, it's been used historically in the past. It's sort of like this. If people like it, they don't say nothing. If they don't like it, they say something. But you understand, if you keep allowing things to be violated in your Constitution, eventually you're going to be violated. Mm-hmm. But it said the First Amendment of the Constitution says Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people to peacefully assemble and to petition their government for a redress of grievances. In other words, we can just say anything we want to say. Mm-hmm. You know, and now we have our president, we're talking about giving up rights. Our president's apologizing for an American exercising a former Egyptian, now American Christian. Suppose, I don't know if he's Christian or not, but they said, you know, they say every American is a Christian.
Right.
Either way, he's an American, and sure. He is protected by the United States Constitution. His First Amendment rights says that, you know, he can, you know, be ignorant and make stupid films. Hollywood's been making stupid films for years. I mean, they've made films, you know, that talked about Jesus, you know, as a crazy thing. It's like, y'all have anything else to talk about other than the awesomeness of God that you're trying to defame, but you can't because he's God. That's why you keep talking about him. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
His very presence makes you feel bad about what you're doing. And so the First Amendment, and then you got the Second Amendment. And this is right now, what's at stake right now? The fear that Eric Holder, our head attorney general, which should be impeached instantly should be removed from his position.
And the attorney general is the chief law enforcement.
He's the head right? authority under the executive branch. Yeah, exactly. Right. And he's appointed by the president, but then the Congress is the one that approves the appointment. They actually they vet the people that he appoints, but he's doing these czars and things. They're not even getting vetted.
They don't get vetted.
You know, right. As a matter of fact, the Secretary of State's assistant didn't get vetted. And Jarrett, you know, didn't get vetted. And you think, well, what's the big deal? First of all, she seems like a really cool lady.
Right.
You know, she seems like a really cool lady, you know, and not that's an appropriate word, but I just, you know, seems like a really cool lady. But hey, wait a minute. She's behind all the stuff's going on. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, what's happening here? And so, you know, when I was looking at some organizational structures of a lot of different things that are taking place in America and these different groups and all, and as I was looking at it, I didn't see her name on there, but I saw her last name on there. But I think it was a man. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh, that must be Valerie's husband or something. So then I just go and look it up, and she has a Wikipedia page. And I'm looking on that to see if she's married and her husband, because you don't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And I look at her saying, oh, my goodness. I'm just shocked. This is how the Lord leads me to things. You know, I like what Jack Hollis talks about. I'll give you a shout out this morning, Jack, if you're listening. He says, you know, you're in a football field and you want to serve God and do what's right. And you're running with the ball and then you drop the ball. Then you try to pick it up. When you're picking it up, your foot kicks it, and it goes a little bit further, and you squeeze it, and you pick it back up, and you're running, and next thing you know, you just fall over into the end zone. Everybody goes, hey, great, great. You know, a lot of times hearing from God because we're so, you know, we hear in part, and we prophesy in part. I mean, God just leads us, you know, to find things out. And you just think, people say, well, you didn't hear about that from God. I said, listen, I would not have heard about it. And so, because what I was looking at was, you know, things to do with people who don't, who want to do away with our Constitution. And then I find out that Valerie Jarrett was born in Iran.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was born in Iran. And I'm not saying, you know, Iranians are, you know, God loves, we're going to hopefully get a chance to talk about that. You know, God loves us all. But it's like, when you put two and two together, when you got the Muslim Brotherhood being the assistant to the Secretary of State, you got the president feeling that it's his job to defend Islam anywhere it is in the world. When you see us sending our ambassadors to an unsecure time at 9/11, basically sending him, apparently, looks like, to his death, even when he's saying, I'm concerned, it's bad, and he still sent him there. I mean, what do you do when it makes you think about when, anyway. So then, but his advisor, listen, his biggest advisor, this is the president's biggest advisor, yet Hillary's advisor is a daughter of the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. The people who he helped put in power in Egypt are the Muslim Brotherhood. The people that are building this caliphate are the Muslim Brotherhood. The CARE organization in America who's fighting against these posters in the subway, right?
That's right.
You know, the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah. And here, his personal advisor, you know, in during the things that was going on when they were doing, the Americans were just having this convention in North Carolina, you know, she was being interviewed. I'm listening with intrigue because I thought she was always, you know, pretty interesting. And then I find out that, you know, she says publicly, you know, he came to me and he was going to run for office or whatever. And I just didn't know because she was a lawyer at that time and she still is, but she was in a firm. And then I was talking to his wife. And so she and I was talking while he's at the table. And then she said, I like this guy because he listens to his wife, and which is not a bad thing. But I'm just saying, is that the qualifications to be a leader of the country? Like, you know, if you vote a woman in as president, then you want her to be the president. You don't want her husband determining where the country goes. You didn't vote for him,
right?
And, you know, Margaret Thatcher didn't go home and determine where, you know, Great Britain was going to go. And we don't expect there is no default position and authority, you know, by the way, even though it's present everywhere now.
Right.
You know, just because you marry somebody does not mean now you are a queen or a king because, you know, somebody's been given authority. Well, you know, and then I'm realizing that when the Green Party in Iran was doing everything else that the Arab Spring that was taking place over there, and they cried for help like everybody else cried for help, and our president stood up for everybody in these other countries, but he remained silent and didn't even tell anybody that they wrote a letter to him and saying, help us stand up for it, and they never did stand up for it. And they're the ones that want to build nuclear power, a bomb to be able to bomb and annihilate not only Israel, but also America. And he's partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood, and his advisors are from the Muslim Brotherhood and born in Iraq. And I mean, there's a little thing going on right here. And you think about, you want to, you know, Israel's saying, listen, we have a right to live. We have a right to defend ourselves. You know, you can't draw lines if, you know, if you're not drawing lines for them morally, you can't draw lines for us, you know, to protect ourselves. And so in that, they're saying, let's give it some more time. Let's give this some more time, you know, work out with sanctions. And I was like, well, your advisor is from Iran. You didn't help Iran. You are well acquainted with and have no problem with the leadership of the Muslim Brotherhood who wants to annihilate, you know, Christians and Jews. Listen, if you have not seen On the Torch, JJ, you got to see that article or that what we talked about on that, because Jesus and the Jews, of course, Jesus is a Jew, but Jesus is the firstborn amongst the church. He's the Lord of the church. And so that how they feel about JJ is very important.
Yes.
And he's like buying time. At the same time, Eric Holder's trying to stir us up. They're trying to do us in. And there is no hope in a man anywhere. And the church is the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is the church voting for Jesus. And we vote for our Jesus by making him the Lord of our life. Making Jesus the Lord of your life is not something you said at some moment in prayer or what somebody may call an altar call or something. It's every single day that he determines the direction of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness, he's born in Iran. And his favored, it's like there's a conflict of interest here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the word I'm searching for.
Well, she has Secret Service detail. She's the highest advisor to the First Lady,
yeah,
and the President. And it's like, you know, he does not make a major decision without consulting her.
Yeah, yeah. I heard a news program about that.
Well, the thing about what we have to do is that, you know, what God showed us prophetically is that, you know, you can be doing something and not know what people are doing behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, President Bush said to someone that was visiting in his office, he said, George W. Bush, he said, it doesn't matter who sits at this desk. It doesn't matter who sits at this desk because when they sit here, it doesn't matter who gets elected office. That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Because once they get behind this desk, they'll find out that their options are very limited.
Mm.
Because we just got to get rid of the naivety. There's people who want to rule the world. And it's been going, the progressive movement's been happening for quite some time now, since Woodrow and the United Nations. And in the context of that is tying the economies together. And it's like, Woodrow, where did you get this and what's going on? And from President Woodrow Wilson. And they went and got him. The progressive movement went and got him because he was a professor at Princeton or wherever. Probably Princeton because it's Jersey.
He's from New Jersey. He's governor of New Jersey.
And so, of course, they went and got him when he was a professor. And they asked him and his viewpoints and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they wanted him to be represent the Progressive Party. Well, he's the one that the League of Nations eventually became the United Nations, the tying of the economies together. And so you had these people that are consistently, that have, you know, it's said that something like there's like three families or whatever that have this, trillions of dollars. A good way to think about them is the cartel. You have the money cartel. You have the food cartel, who controls the food in the world. Mm-hmm. You have the bank cartel, which controls the money, and you have one other cartel. I can't think of it right now. And cartel means organized crime, and the oil cartel, and their money's so big, you know, you're talking about $300 trillion type money that at any moment they can just pull that stool out from under America and it could fall.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is, since they see think about it, the Federal Reserve is not a part of the government. It is not a government. It has nothing to do with the government.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private corporation. But yet, when we borrow money from the Federal Reserve, the government does, we print the money ourselves and we give it to them.
Right.
And then we borrow it from this non-government institution called the Federal Reserve.
Regulate.
And then we pay them interest. And right now we have a $10 trillion deficit that they're getting paid $2 trillion interest on.
Mm. Didn't the deficit go up to $16 trillion right now? I believe it's $16 trillion.
Well, that's the recent numbers in regards to what we're actually paying on from the Federal Reserve.
Oh, I got you. Oh, wow.
Because, you know, China, we're paying them some money as well.
Listen, we're paying a lot of money to a lot of people
everywhere. And so what they're doing is they're devaluing our currency, these cartels, to be able to do away with our Constitution. And they had to demoralize us to be able to no longer have any values or to infiltrate us in regards to our church and what we believe in, the church of the body of Christ, and what we believe and our definition of what God says things are. And they had to do all that to get us to this particular point. But They've been very successful. I think they've accomplished all their goals. And at this point, and it is doable if God's people humble ourselves and we mm-hmm. pray and we turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven, and there's a chance that he may heal our land. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right?
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first? Like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now. And maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people. And I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him. And I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I gotta wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. You can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or in the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and you are listening to the VFN Radio Extra Hour. Joining me, of course, is Pat, John, and Chris. You know, I want to talk about this morning, you know, before we're, you know, the time, of course, moves quickly as we are speaking, but this is so important. We have some things we want to unfold because you need a foundation in your life. You need to know our foundation. Of course, a foundation is different than a cornerstone. A cornerstone is what you build off of. A foundation is what you lay down.
And people say, well, your foundation is Jesus Christ. No, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything is laid with the plumb line of the cornerstone. And so our foundation is God's word. You know, what he says about everything. It's not, oh, just Jesus. Like, no, it's Jesus, what Jesus says. You know, and and so in this in one aspect of that, you know, and you're hearing this kind of lay down some of those foundations so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. It's important because there's nothing more evil than a religious spirit. And a religious spirit hears things differently, and they begin to accuse in a way when somebody else was just talking about what is, but then God's perspective of that, or looking, searching out what God's perspective is. The question, this is a very, very important question that I want to just think about and just begin a conversation about. And it's so important to know the answer to this question, because it'll change how you handle everything. How you relate to your family, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to your parents or your kids or your boss, or how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your people that are in your church gathering or not, how you relate to people who are in other religions. You know, it's so we got, this is the question. The question is, who does God love? Who does God love? I mean, you think about that. That's such an important question, because when you look around, you start, everybody, you know, who don't understand what we're going to talk about, what I'm going to be talking about, is that if you look at them, it seems like they're saying God loves them. You know, it, that that they're saying, this is what they're saying, God loves me. God loves me, you know, and then when they express everything else, it's like, and God hates you. And it'll change your perspective when we begin to answer that question, you know, who does God love? And when you, when we find this out, it'll cause you to look at the news differently. It'll cause you to look at, people differently, men differently, women, children, people of other ethnic groups differently, people of other nations differently, people of other political affiliations differently. I mean, everything's different. It'll be, it's totally different. If you get, you got to get this, because, you know, one of the foundational truths that we talked about is like, who are you calling good? And you can go to VFN TV and watch that. You need to watch it, because if we don't get past this, that revelation is that you go around trying to be good, and you aren't, and so you're constantly defeated, and everybody thinks you're good, and so they don't look to good himself, which is God. And Jesus said, who are you calling good, when they called him good teacher? The only one good is God. And so you can see that on VFN TV. Now the question that we're asking is, you know, who does God love? And if you really talk to people who are caught up in oppression and a religious spirit of the land, that a lot of people claim to be related to God or to a God, but they don't feel loved by God, you know? And that's the one thing the enemy wants to destroy, is the question, and the answer to the question, who does God love? Here's the answer. God loves mankind. That men, everybody that you've ever seen before in your life, everybody that you're ever going to see, and people that you're seeing now, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. No matter what they're doing, what they have done, that he loves them, which is you. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped loving, quote, them, unquote. He loves mankind. I mean, he tells us, you know, while we were yet sinners, while we were just cursing his name, while we were refusing to hear anything he had to say, when we were living our life totally opposite of him, even creating new versions of what we called him that wasn't him, he still was madly in love with us and is madly in love with you. Not madly. I don't like that word. He is deeply in love with mankind. And so what is while we were yet a sinner, while we were, well, and a sinner, sinner, sin means missing the mark. And the mark is God's laws, God's commands, and God says this is the way it's going to go. And so sin means we don't do it God's way. That's sin. And every man has sinned and fallen short. And so when we were doing things not God's way, intentionally or unintentionally, God loves us. God loved us and God loves us. It means that God's love for man and women who are held captive by a religious spirit and even seem to be hateful, that God loves them. God loves hateful people. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means that God loves the church leaders that seem to have sold out for political correctness and now skipped over the parts of God's word and truth that cause people to feel uncomfortable. They've compromised God's word.
Mm-hmm.
God loves that man. God loves that woman. While we were yet a sinner, you have to understand, if you misunderstand this, you'll begin to be a religious person instead of a message person. This is delivering the God's message of love to mankind. It means this. What does that mean? It means that God loves the man and woman who has sought to profit financially by establishing an organization or joining an organization, religious, that have used it to transfer finances of God's people to fuel their lavish lifestyles, their mansions, their planes, their luxury vacations, while God's people are deceived in giving towards that and trying to scrimp and eke out a living even to pay their rent. I mean, we got to get this. We're trying to build a dimension of God's love here.
Right.
We have to understand this. This is God's not delivering religion. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Love is what will get you to willingly say, I will put myself on the cross. What does it mean? It means that God loves men and women who struggle with, who have given themselves over to the gay or lesbian lifestyle, including those who chose to be married. I mean, you see people today, they're yelling, hey. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's not the message of God. It's not gonna help. You just made them seem like they're hated by God. And the truth is they're loved by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves Americans who vote and those who don't vote. He loves Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and whatever party that's out there.
Right.
This is important because you're hearing people hate people who don't think like them. And then they migrate God's, they lie about God, saying God hates them too because I hate them.
Right.
And God loves. Who does God love? While we were yet a sinner, God... Wait a minute, what does that mean? That means that God loves mankind. Well, he loves mankind. What does that mean? The people that you hate, he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If you do hate. I mean, hopefully when we finish here, you'll become a believer, mm-hmm. you know, and right. leave your religion and get into a relationship with the God who loves you. It means that God loves that tattooed and or pierced man or woman. And he even loves the one who never tattooed themselves or pierced themselves. He loves them both the same. That's what it means.
Mm.
It means God loves the presidents in the world. God loves kings. God loves queens. God loves dictators. God loves socialists, Marxists, and communists.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said, I can't believe you're not a, and he named a party, and it's like, that's God's party. Dude. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Don't even put that on God.
Who does God love? God loves Jews, Arabs, Chinese, Spaniards, Germans, Indians, Russians, Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, Africans, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Hungarians. He just loves all of us. God's not in your box. Listen, if we want to save this country, mm-hmm. it'll begin with understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're divided now because religion said that God loves this person but doesn't love that person. And so we don't deliver God's message of love that brings people to a loving God. It means this. It means that God, if, you know, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. What does it mean? It means that God loves Muslims. God loves Hindus. God loves Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Scientologists, and all the many, many different people religions. Who have a different, yeah. Because mm-hmm. they're human beings created right. in the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I mean, if any point, this is not biblically or doctrinally correct, because we are not, why should we even have this country as Christians? Why should we say, hey, this is a Christian nation when we don't even minister the love of God? It means God loves your ex-wife and your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
God's not buying into your ex-spouse's evil. God loves your ex-spouse. And the way that you're ridiculing your kid's father in front of them, ma'am, is not a witness of the love of God.
Mm.
God loves your children's father. It means that God loves absent fathers' children. It means that God loves the man or woman who is addicted to alcohol, drugs, and who continually seems to squander every attempt for them to be rescued because the addiction pulls them back on the street. Listen, God loves that man. God loves that woman. It means that God loves the victims of crime, but he also loves the suspects in the crime. Mm. It means that God loves everyone in prison, including the warden, the guards, the cooks, the prisoners, and the visitors. It means that God loves the abuser and the abused. It means that God loves men and women who have skin color that's different than yours. It means that God loves women and men and children all the same. It means that God loves the oppressed and the oppressor. It means that God loves the man and the woman who sits lost in the crowd of a man and a woman who stood in front of the crowd for years teaching the word of God the very same way. You can't see them in the back, but God loves them the same.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves the one who stayed faithful in God for years and hasn't given their life over to sin, but it also means that God loves the prodigal son and daughter who once walked with him. The presence of God's people, even though they walked in it at one time and they squandered their life for sexual sin and self-indulgence, whatever it is, God's in love with the backslider. That's what it means. It means God loves the man and the woman who sits hours after hours behind computers, mobile devices, and cell phones, filled with lust in their heart for sexual images that are just all over the internet. It means that God loves the Christian man and the Christian woman who wants to walk right before God, but they just keep falling again and again, over again, and wiping themselves off and resetting themselves again and say, you know, I'm going to follow God. I've failed, but I'm going to follow God. It means that God loves the ministers who profess to be spreading his kingdom, but in reality, they're building their own kingdom.
Mm.
It means that God loves those who cheat on their taxes. And those who pride themselves on paying every dime. It means that God loves the man or woman who uses their God-given gifts such as music, prophecy, speaking, deliverance, healing for means, for profit, for financial gain. But it also means that God loves the man and the woman who uses it rightly.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves your enemies. And when Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:40 chapter 5, 43 through 44, he tells us, you know, that he's asking us to do the very same thing that he does himself. He says, listen, he says, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, this is Jesus who you profess to follow. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of our Father in heaven. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself. When we get this truth, the revelation of God's love towards mankind, it's going to be easier for you to forgive those who sinned against you. It's going to be easier for you to love those that are difficult to love. It's going to be easier to experience loss and persecution without retaliation. For us to retaliate, we're retaliating against that man or woman that God loves. For us to hold unforgiveness towards somebody, we're holding unforgiveness towards someone that God loves. That's why he says, if you forgive, I'll forgive. Mm-hmm. How can we hate the one God loves and claim that we're sons of God when we're hating the one he loves? It means that God's love for us is for all of us while we were still sinners. And that means what? Not doing things God's way. He loved us so much, every one of us, that he died for us. He died for you. Why did he do that? Because he needed to be a sacrifice. Something had to be done. He loved you so much, and there was an issue between, there was a distance between you. There was something, there was this chasm between you and the one that loves you, and it had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with, because he loves you so much, it had to be dealt with by taking his son, whom he loved, to be a sacrifice for you. A payment had to be made. There had to be a payment. It's like, I love my son, but I love you too. I love this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this child. And I love all these nations. There's a chasm between us called sin, and it has to be dealt with. But it's not them. It's the sin. And I love them. I don't love that thing that separates me from them, because I want to be with them. So as the adversary seeks to divide men and women, nation from nation, kingdom against kingdom, know that despite all man is doing to divide and conquer mankind, that God is still seeking to unite us, to unite mankind, whom he loves, with himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fall prey to the adversary's tactic that tells you God hates, and you fill in the blank. The category of a person. Because it's not true. God loves them. For God is love. He so loved the world. That's us, mankind. That he gave his son. Whoever. That's all of us. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but we won't. We can be with him forever. We'll have eternal life. Why? Because he wants to be with you forever. He loves you so much. I don't care, ma'am, what religion told you. God loves you. Don't take your life, Idaho. 7% of the children, they're going to school, that you've been surveyed, and they say that you want to end your life. Don't end your life. That's the devil. God loves you. You're struggling with your sexual identity. God loves you. I know religion said that God hates you. That's the devil speaking through them. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. Our distance from the one who loves us, God, is not measured in miles and feet and inches. I mean, imagine being in love with that which you're in love with, that person, and that there's something between you, and all of a sudden you begin to hate that thing that's between you. You don't hate the one you love. You're wanting to get everything out of the way that's between you two. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people start calling you what you're wrestling with, instead of saying, no, he's in love with me. He just hates that thing that's trying to take me down. Our distance from the one who loves us is only measured not in feet, not in inches, not in miles. It's measured in sin. The more sin, the more distance. You see, God is in love with the sinner. God loves you. He just hates the thing that's in between you and him. This separates intimacy with him, you and him. He'll forgive it all. He loves you so much. He gave his son for that opportunity. It's so important for us to be sons and daughters of God. And a true son and daughter of God understands that no matter what, no matter how, no matter our loss because of sin or someone else's sin towards us, that God loves us and God loves them. Therefore, we love God and we love others. Therefore, to win the objects, mankind, of God's affection, we must make sure we let them know how much he loves them and why sin is preached against. It's the divider between him and them. And he so desperately wants to be with you, he will shake the world to let you know he loves you and he will forgive you. And he'll restore the years the locusts have devoured. And that's why all those religious mouths are trying to ridicule you and condemn you, because Satan's got their tongue going, no, you can't go to him. I'm jealous of the love that he has for you. I was thrown out of heaven because I wanted to be him. And don't you love him? And I don't want you to know the love he has for you. And then so he condemns you. He ridicules you. And God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. 1 John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, John says it in the letter he's writing to the church. He says, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this perspective, we got to get this perspective. If not, you're going to sound like a jerk. You know, God's given you a love letter to deliver to somebody, and all you talk about is all the things that divide them from God's love, and you don't talk about them and that God loves them and God wants to spend time with them, and it's all about their intimate relationship, and God don't want to go between. You don't want you to be a go-between. He wants a personal relationship with them. And so this gross darkness, and gross darkness is covering the earth, and you can just see it just kind of trying to defeat the very one thing that God loves. It's so important for us to do this one simple thing, and this is our driving force, and it's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission of everything else hangs on this. Everything in all creation hangs on this one thing I'm about to tell you. It's very simple, church. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the same. Well, God bless. We enjoy the extra hour on VFN Radio. Check us out on VFNTV.com. Like us on Facebook. Get your friends to join us in the virtual stadium. And God bless. Don't forget about the marathon weekend.